Our scripture reading today is from Mark 2, 1 through 5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there were no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And we know the man got up and walked out of there. So this morning we enter the last of this little series I'd like to do, The Amazing Race. And today I want to really focus in on authentic community, those around you who help you get through whatever you're going through, help push you forward in your faith. Every day we find ourselves engaged in crowds, no matter where we are. And there are all kinds of crowds. You have the work crowd, the school crowd, the crowd associated with your children. You have the church crowd, sports crowds. There's crowds everywhere. No matter where you go, there's always a crowd, other people around. Now, it's easy to confuse these associations with these crowds, our interactions with them, with the experience of an authentic community. Crowds, they're pseudo-communities, they're part of a community, including a church crowd. Hard to think of it like that. Or these relationships, they're experienced at a superficial level. They're sort of just on the surface, these relationships are. Crowds are usually drawn together by activities of some kind. Rather than seeking accountability, deeper meaning in our lives, they're just gathering for an activity. Think of the Jazz Fest crowd. You have the Vols or Titans games. You have the church crowd as well. We all gather for some reason. Some activity is going on, so we come together for it. But crowds, a lot of the time, like I said, they're limited to these superficial levels. People ask, "How are you doing?" And no matter what's going on in your life, you just say, I'm fine, everybody's fine, everything is fine. It's not a big deal. No one there really knows what's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your family. And before long, that's the only thing we begin to know. What we created is this culture of superficiality. The Gallup polls recently released one saying that Americans are the loneliest people in the world. Not that we don't have people around us, as you see this morning, or when you go get lunch later, whatever it is, there's people around you. But there's many times you feel lonely in the crowd. A song once went, "All the lonely people, where do they come from? All the lonely people, where do they belong?" The answer to that is they belong in an authentic community. And what we find in reality is this lack of connection with others. This lack of a real community that keeps you accountable. And this lack of community, it stunts our growth emotionally, spiritually, relationship-wise. It stunts us. I like to focus in on the spiritual part of that. And it transfers to your relationships and everything, but really focus in on the spiritual aspect of that. And I think there's three inhibitors in this superficial community that sort of hold us back. Hold us back from being accountable to one another, to talk about our deeper meanings of life. The first one is the dark side of consumerism. Our culture really has gone to a materialistic view. We say, "Man, I'm down right now. But that guy over there, he seems really happy. He's got a nicer car than me. Maybe that's it. Maybe I just need to buy a new car." And I don't know about you. Every Christmas, I get nice gifts, or every birthday. I'm like, "Man, this is what I wanted all year. I've been waiting for this." 2 months later, I'm like, "Yeah, it's just another thing I have." That luster, it wears off. These items we buy, they dull the pain of loneliness and emptiness temporarily. And then we move on to something else. This focus on material, this focus on items in our lives, items we can buy and earn, they deal with the exterior. They make us look good. They make us feel good for a while. But they don't really transform our inner lives, transform the way we think or act, or transform our spiritual lives. The second inhibitor is individualism. There is a huge rise in individualism, especially in America. Americans have always been individual people. When you think of the ideal American, you think of the rugged American who can take care of themselves. They go chop their own wood, build their own fires, they build their own houses. Thinking of old Western movies. Always like watching those. We see this independent American, this independent person who can really has everything together. They can take care of themselves. They seem self-sufficient. But I don't know about you, I'm not self-sufficient. No matter how hard I try, and I try really hard, I think I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody else's help. But that's a problem. You can't do life on your own. You need people around you supporting you, holding you up, carrying you when times you need carried, and pushing you along when times you need pushed. You can't do it alone. The third inhibitor for this transformation in your life, this authentic community, is the paralysis of isolation. Everything is about me, everything is personal, and everything is private. When I begin to say to people or think this way, it's none of their business. Everything's just fine. Let's keep it there. That's all that matters. I don't need anything other than this crowd that every now and then says, "How you doing? I'm fine. How are you doing? I'm fine." And that's the end of the conversation. When you begin to get in this trend, you start to disconnect from authentic community and what that feeling really is, what that transformation really does. As soon as you disconnect from these communities of accountability, you lose any chance of this authentic community that you really need. And the end result, too often, is that you begin to disconnect from yourself. You get into this routine where you forget to see your inner self, to keep yourself accountable. You can be going through a rough time and just say, "It's fine." That's why I'm telling everybody else, "It's fine. There's nothing wrong." When really there is. And you need someone there to help you. Aristotle once put it, and I'm summarizing here and paraphrasing and working it around. He said, isolation, being by yourself, without a need for a community, either makes you a god or a monster. And being that we are neither of those, we need a community. Even to the ancient Greeks, they could see this. Deep within us, we all know that we strive for these relationships. I mean, you go out of your way to impress somebody at times. You want this relationship with people. But it's easy to just shove it off and not think about it. Randy Frazee, he wrote a book called The Connecting Church. He said, the experience of authentic community is one of the purposes God intends to be fulfilled by the church. The church, or even just a local community of believers, is essential to our spiritual well-being. Believers in the early church, we can see in the book of Acts and Hebrews and all through, really, even the Old Testament. They relied upon one another. God expected them to be there for each other. Jesus taught them that. Be there for one another. Help one another. And that expectation hasn't gone away. It's held through the ages. We are to be there for each other at all times. God has ordained us that we play a vital role in each other's faith. For that reason, we're commanded in Hebrews 10:25. It says, not to give up meeting together, as some in the habit are doing. Let's encourage one another. Always be there for one another. We don't exist for the self-gratification. We exist for God, and we exist for a relationship with one another. We weren't made just to be alone. If that was the case, we would just have Adam. We would never have Eve. What I want you to see from our scripture today is the contrast between the crowd and the four friends. It's not something you really see on the surface. It's something when you dive in, you're like, where is this connection? Where is this community in this passage? Here we see the crowds. They're inhibiting people from coming to Jesus and seeing his transforming power. They were crowded all around the building. These friends couldn't even get close. They had to crawl through the roof. The friends in this, They're the authentic community to this paralyzed man. They're doing whatever it costs to get him to Jesus. Now, crawling through a roof, you may picture your roof at your house. And it seems a little crazy, all that wood, and you might need some tools. Back then, it was just mud, a big block of mud sitting there. And I was thinking about this morning. I couldn't imagine being Jesus in that house when all that mud starts falling down, and you're like, what in the world is going on? And some man's falling through the roof. But these friends, they were going to do whatever it took to get this man to Jesus. Even by tearing off the roof of his house. They knew of his power to heal their friend who was in need. They knew their friend's condition. He was paralyzed. He didn't have a chance. If you're paralyzed back then, if you didn't have family support you, you had nothing. You couldn't even beg. They knew, they saw his struggle through life, the daily pain it caused him. But they knew in his heart that he truly wanted to be healed. He truly wanted this relationship. So they did whatever it took to get there. Let me ask you this morning. How many people just here today really know you? Who knows you on the inside? Who knows those deep problems you have, where you hurt, where you're truly struggling, where you're being tempted, and where you need prayer? Larry Crabb, he's a Christian psychologist, he wrote, "A central task of community is to create a place that is safe enough for the walls to be torn down, safe enough for each of us to reveal our brokenness to one another." The fact is, no one can be transformed just by sitting here on a Sunday morning, saying everything is fine. That doesn't lead to transformation. That leads to just going through the motions, getting through day by day and not really thinking about it. A lot of people look at the church crowd like, that's where it is. That's where that community is. That's where the people are going to be there for me. And they are. But they go into it expecting it, and sometimes it's not really there. But as long as I'm just hanging out with this crowd, the crowd is going to prohibit me from experiencing authentic relationships in the community, the accountability which I need to live in the likeness of Jesus. Only authentic community will allow spiritual growth. It will allow this true transformation in your life to transform you into the person you are called to be. Friends with people who will share with you and get involved in your life. They'll dive into areas you don't want dived in, and they'll help you through them. They're the ones who are involved with you below the superficial level. They're not just the crowd. They're the ones you can go to and say, everything's not fine. Let me tell you about this. These people, they're invested in your life. The second question I want to ask you today is, who are your stretcher bearers? Who carries you when you need carried? Who knows the stuff that goes in your life that almost no one else would know about and sometimes even care about? Who knows these? Who is so living with you in your personal life? Not literally living at times, but so involved with you that they're praying for you when you don't even think you need prayer? Who is encouraging you or challenging you and at times correcting you in your following, in your path to follow Jesus? A lot of the times we get caught up in the notion that Jesus, he called the 12 disciples for the disciples' sake. That he said, these people need me, so I'm going to teach them. I'm going to teach them my mission. I'm going to teach them about God and teach them about this inner relationship. They're coming to me, and that's it. They need me only. And that is true. They did need Jesus. But Jesus also knew that he couldn't fulfill God's purpose without them. He needed them. He needed these people that, even after the cross, would live together, pray together, eat together, and teach others together, to spread this authentic community to everyone in the world. In the garden, the night before he was crucified, he took his friends and said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Keep watch over me. Jesus, he's the Son of God. He was there at creation, helped create the world. was asking these men to help him. He was saying, I can't do this by myself. I can't do this alone. I need you to stand with me. I need you to be my stretcher bearer. I need you to see my inner struggle and to pray with me through it. When he said, stand, watch with me, he's saying, stand, watch there. Watch for something. Watch this evil to attack. Keep it at bay. Warn me when things aren't going right. A watch is like a sentry on a guard tower. They're the people that are the first line of warning and defense when evil begins to attack. They stand and watch over your life and oftentimes see things you don't see. See problems before they really become a problem in your life. Can you identify these people in your life? The ones who would come for you no matter what you needed, no matter what they were doing. Look back at verse 5 when Jesus said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, I emphasize their. Jesus saw the faith of the four friends. I'm sure he saw the faith of the paralyzed man as well. But he saw their faith. And through their faith, them leading him to Jesus, he healed this man. Made him stand up. Then be able to fight for himself when no one else could. Because of these friends, this man had a life again, a brand new life. So the first thing I discovered about hanging out in this authentic community is that your fears and vulnerabilities, they become your strengths. That is the synergy of group faith. It was the faith of this man's friends which brought him to Jesus and enabled him to be transformed. As we face the inevitable trials, troubles, and tragedies of life, God intends that we are to be supported with each other, to strengthen each other, encourage, and empower through a community of believers, community that believes in you. When we are weak, those around us become strong for us. That is God's plan for us. To stand together, and even though we are weak, we can be strong because those around us are there to support us. Second, community provides opportunities for ministry. You never really minister to someone until you touch and address their point of greatest need. Authentic community gives opportunities to minister in unique ways and personal ways to one another. Any of Jesus' healings, any of his teachings, whatever he does, he addresses a need in the community first. He tells them stories about conflicts they have in their daily lives. He feeds the 5,000, even though they didn't ask him. He treats those needs to be able to uniquely minister to them. Third, we're challenged into a life of adventure. The paralyzed man would have never been lowered through the roof to be with Jesus if it had not been for his friends. This authentic community, it challenges you. It pushes you and encourages you to do more than you would just do on your own. To step out of your safe zone. To break the walls down and do things you could never think you were able to do. It also allows us to receive guidance in our lives. The community of faith is crucial to our well-being because it's the source of much-needed guidance and direction. As someone once said, we need the community of believers because none of us is as smart as all of us. We need that guidance to lead us safely through our earthly pilgrimage, sparing us of many wrong turns and harmful paths. Paths people have taken before but can show you, don't go that way. I've tried that. It doesn't work. That doesn't seem right. Let's not do that. Ephesians 3:10 declares that God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. God, he wants to guide us. But he's chosen to do that through his people, through a community of believers. He gives us wisdom for the journey as we study his word, as we pray, and as we discuss and share life together. Finally, we're challenged to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Jesus, the Son of God, knew that he could not do it by just talking to these crowds he met on a daily basis, by just teaching them. He was also always connected to the 11. more connected than he was to the crowds. So they ask the question, why do we think we can do it by ourselves? If Jesus, the perfect man, decided he couldn't do it alone either, why do we think we can? So I have two suggestions for you this morning about how to practice this authentic community. The first one is get involved in a Sunday school class or a Bible study. One thing I like to say, and I've heard it many times, if you find a group of people that you do not connect to, move on. There's other groups out there that you will connect better with, that will be a better authentic community for you. Find that group. We're starting a Bible study here in a couple of weeks. Come join it. Maybe we can grow this authentic community together. This church crowd can become this community that shares our inner struggles and prays for one another. Helps guide us along in our personal faith on this journey. Second, form your own little group. Your own group of good friends. Find that group of people who can inspire you in your mind, your spirit, and your body. So I'm sure everybody has this group of friends already. This group they can talk to about anything in the world. But if you look back, you've had many of these groups. And the ones that don't work out, it's because they became shallow and superficial. They didn't get below the surface. They spread out and distance themselves from one another. To avoid that, meet together. Always talk about these things. If you sense that happening, say it. Say, we aren't doing this right. Reaffirm that your group is to help each other grow. And be trusting of one another and willing to grow. That it's not just about the surface. Not just about the I'm fine. It's about everything deeper than that. So what is the church supposed to look like then? What is this authentic community in the church, this spiritual growth, supposed to look like? It's these small groups of people who are seeking to put the needs of others ahead of their own. They are servants and ministers to one another. They watch out for one another, care for one another, encourage one another to live the way Jesus lived, to follow his teachings, and to become more like him every day. In this church, even, in your community, you may not get to know everyone equally. And that's okay. God doesn't expect you to know everybody and everybody's personal lives and to keep up with it all. I couldn't imagine. But he does expect you to know a few. To connect with a few people. Make it your goal to build them up. And by focusing on them, putting them ahead of yourself, you're going to build up right along with it without even realizing it. God, he wants us to leave our individualized and isolated lives and join together in authentic community, this uncommon community that doesn't seem natural at times. For our sake, and for the sake of connecting diverse communities to a lifestyle devoted to Jesus, and for the sake of the kingdom of God. And that's what the church is supposed to look like. Amen.